I'm going to read a passage of Scripture from the book of John, John chapter 6. I wish we had time to read this entire chapter, the sixth chapter of John. One of the most glorious chapters in all the Word of God, this message by our Lord Jesus Christ. 69 verses, or 70 verses in this sixth chapter of John. But I'm just going to read a part of it. I'm speaking to you today on this subject. Now listen carefully. Here's my subject. Is Jesus of Nazareth the Messiah? Is Jesus of Nazareth, is He the Christ? Is He the Messiah? In John chapter 6, verse 66, right at the end of the chapter, after He had brought this sermon and people started leaving, deserting Him, it says, from that time, after He said those words, many of His followers went back. They left Him, and they walked no more with Him. Many people who had been following Him for a long time, listening to Him preach, observing the miracles, they went back, and they walked no more with Him. Had nothing to do with Him. And then Jesus said to the 12, those 12 disciples around Him, Peter, James, John, Nathaniel, Philip, He said, will you also go away? Will you? And then Simon Peter answered and said to Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and we're sure that You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. That's my question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Christ? Do you believe Jesus, who was born of Mary, born in Bethlehem, walked in Jerusalem, Capernaum, Bethsaida, all these cities, came out of Galilee, called the carpenter, died on a cross? Do you believe He is the Messiah? Do you believe He's the Christ that God promised from the very beginning in Genesis 3:15 and all the way through the Old Testament? Someone's coming, the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, the priest like Melchizedek, the prophet like Moses, the king like David, that He's the Messiah. Now John the Baptist was in prison, and John the Baptist sent two of his followers to Jesus of Nazareth. The Lord Jesus Christ was out here preaching. I call Him the Lord Jesus Christ because I believe and I'm sure that He is the Lord. He is the Christ. But Jesus of Nazareth was out here preaching. And John the Baptist sent two of his followers to Jesus of Nazareth. And this is what they asked. They said, John sent us. And John wants to know, are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Or do we look for another? And then when the woman at the well, you remember the woman at the well? Of course you do. Our Lord spoke to her. In that whole fourth chapter of John, He deals with this woman. Finally, she realized that she's talking to a man who's no ordinary man. He knows too much about her and about all things. He spake as no man ever spake. And she realized that this man to whom she's speaking is no ordinary man. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. And then she added, we know that the Messiah is coming. The Christ is coming. And when He's come, He will tell us all things. He's coming from God, the Messiah. See, the Jews, Samaritans and all, look for the Messiah. They look for the Christ. They expected Him to come. Expected Him to come a lot differently from the way He did come, but they were looking for Him. She, even this woman, said the Messiah is coming, and when He comes, He'll tell us everything. And that's when Jesus of Nazareth said to her, I that speak to thee am the Messiah. I'm the Christ. You see, the Messiah is described by the Old Testament writers in so many, 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 many ways. If I were to start telling you the different ways in which he's described in the Old Testament, I'd be here, the whole program would be devoted nothing but names of the Messiah. He's described as the anointed of God, as the prophet, priest, and king. He's described in this way. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's called Emmanuel. He's called the Virgin Son. He's called a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He's called the Lord our righteousness. He's called the branch. He's called the Son of David, the root of Jesse. He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's called the Messenger of the Covenant. He's called the Desire of all nations. There's just name after name after name given to the Messiah in the Old Testament. In fact, that's what the Old Testament is all about, from Genesis to Malachi. Someone's coming. God is sending a Messiah. God is sending the branch, the King, the Redeemer, the Christ. He's coming. He's coming. Now, I believe he has come. And the disciples said he's come. We believe that you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Can I show you from the Scriptures that Jesus of Nazareth is indeed the Messiah? He is indeed the Christ. He is indeed the Redeemer. Let me show you. If you'd like to take these down, there are just several of them, but let me just point out a few reasons for believing, and like Peter said, and being sure that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. First of all, the time when he came to the earth. The time when he came. In Genesis 49:10, way back yonder, when Israel was in Egypt, and Jacob was about to die, and he called his 12 sons, and he was blessing these 12 sons, each by name. Finally, he came to Judah. He came to Judah, and he says to Judah, the scepter, the rod of power and rule. Now, they were just a handful of people, 100 or 120 people down to Egypt now. 12 sons, Joseph, all the rest of them, Reuben, Dan, Judah. It was just a handful of them. They didn't have a king. Just a handful of them there. And he was blessing them. And he said, but the scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh comes. Shiloh. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Unto Shiloh, Lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, my friends, when Jesus Christ was born, the tribe of Judah was still known. Mary and Joseph were of the tribe of Judah. But shortly thereafter, they were dispersed. There was no tribe of Judah. Several years after Christ died on the cross, you couldn't find the tribe of Judah or the descendants of the tribe of Judah. He had to be, the Messiah had to come then when the tribe of Judah was still there and the scepter was in the tribe of Judah. They didn't even have a nation after that. They were dispersed. Didn't have a king. And then in Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, God says this. Now listen, I will send my messenger, talking about John the Baptist. He'll go before me. And then the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. The Lord shall come to his temple. The Lord whom you seek shall come suddenly to his temple. What temple? That was the second, the rebuilding of the temple. And in Haggai 2 verse 9, our Lord said to the rebuilders of the second temple that the Messiah would come while that temple stood. The rebuilding of the temple. They were rebuilding the temple. And God said that the messenger of the covenant is coming to this temple, and the latter glory shall be greater than the first. The latter glory, when Christ came to Jerusalem and stood in the temple, he made a whip and drove out the money changers, but he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Our Lord went to the temple, and there he preached, and there he drove out the money changers. He came to the temple, and the glory he brought to that temple was far greater than the glory of Solomon's temple. They had an ark and a mercy seat. Jesus Christ is the ark and the mercy seat. And he stood in the temple. After he died, the temple was destroyed. Titus, the Roman emperor, came into Jerusalem and tore down the temple, tore down the city. There's no more temple. Hasn't been for almost 2,000 years. So Jesus of Nazareth has to be the Messiah. There's no temple for the messenger of the covenant to which he can come. No temple for the Messiah to stand in. That's right. The temple was destroyed. So was Jerusalem. The time he came, he has to be the Messiah. All right, secondly, the place where the Messiah was to be born. Where was the Messiah to be born? To Christ. The Old Testament tells us, Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, thou Bethlehem, though thou be little, a little town, Bethlehem, O little town of Bethlehem. The little town of Bethlehem, little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, God said, unto me, my messenger, my redeemer, my Christ, that is to be the ruler in Israel. And listen, his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Bethlehem, out of you shall Shiloh, lion of the tribe of Judah, be born, and shall come unto me. And it's written of him, he'll be the ruler in Israel. He'll be the King of kings and Lord of lords. And this line of the tribe of Judah, born in Bethlehem, his goings forth have been from everlasting. Where's Bethlehem? Where was it just a few years after Christ came and died on the cross? Where's Judah? Where's the temple? Where's Bethlehem? Gone. Matthew 2, 1 through 6, Herod the king inquired of the scribes and priests where the Christ should be born. He said, where is this? When the wise men came through wanting to know where he was to be born, it bothered old Herod. He said, this king of the Jews, where is he going to be born? And all the scribes and the Sadducees came around and the priests, and they said, Bethlehem. He's to be born in Bethlehem. Christ is the Messiah. Shiloh, Lion of the tribe of Judah, messenger of the covenant. The Lord came to his temple. It was destroyed. Born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth is forevermore. Listen, thirdly, the Old Testament scriptures insist and declare plainly that the Christ must be the son of David. He must be the son of David. He must be of the house, the family tree, the lineage of David. David has to be his great, 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 great grandpa. His house and lineage has to be traced through his mother right back to David. His mother is in the line of David and an heir to the throne. Now then, what about Jesus of Nazareth? He'll be from Judah, David's tribe. He'll be the root of Jesse, David's father. He'll be the son of David, of David's house and lineage. If you look in your Bible in chapter 1 of Matthew, the first 15 verses, you'll find there the house of David. You'll find the family tree. You'll find it listed right through Solomon. You'll find David, who begat Solomon, who begat this one, this one, this one, who begat Joseph, who was thought to be the father of Jesus. He was the foster father of Jesus. In other words, Joseph, the foster father of Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, was a prince. He was a descendant of David, a direct descendant of David through Solomon, Joseph. Now, if you turn to Luke, you'll find that the house of David and the descendants of David are traced through his son Nathan. David's son Solomon begat different ones. Joseph came through Solomon from David. Then you take in Luke 3, Nathan, David's other son. And you know who was born through Nathan? Mary. But someone says over there in Luke 3, it says Heli was the father of Joseph, father-in-law. The father-in-law. Because no woman ever had her genealogy traced in the Bible. It's always traced through the man. And so in chapter 1 of Matthew, you have the house of Joseph right through Solomon to David. And in Luke, you have under Joseph's name, who was the son-in-law of Heli. That's Mary's daddy, Heli. You have the house and lineage of Mary right back to David through Nathan. So Jesus Christ, born to Mary, whose foster father was Joseph, is the heir to the throne, actually, son of David. One day our Lord said to the Pharisees, he said, "What think ye of Christ, the Christ? Whose son is the Christ?" They said, "Son of David." Well, he said, "How can he be David's Lord and David's son?" They couldn't answer that. Can you? He's David's Lord in that he's God Almighty. He's declared to be the Son of God. But he's manifested in the flesh, the Son of David, through Mary, great, great, great granddaughter of King David, through Nathan. He's the Messiah. And then watch this. In the Old Testament, the kind of miracles. See, the Messiah was to come and perform. He had many witnesses, but he was to perform certain miracles. If you look in the Word of God in Psalm 146 and Isaiah 32 and 35, it tells about the special miracles that he will perform. Now, I'm going back right now to that question John the Baptist asked Jesus of Nazareth. Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Or do we look for another? What was the answer that the Lord Jesus gave him? He said here, "Go and show John how the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised, the lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them." The blind see. No one can give sight to the blind but the Lord. No one can raise the dead but the Lord. No one can make lame legs walk but the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ. And even his enemies acknowledged that. Nicodemus came to him and said, "No man could do what you do. No man can do what you do unless God be with him." Now, Nicodemus was acknowledging that there was a way in which Christ got his power from God. But Nicodemus was not acknowledging that Jesus of Nazareth is God. And that's what we're saying. He is God. He is God. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. The works that he did bear witness that he is the Messiah. And then notice this. The Messiah, in the fifth place, the Messiah, the Christ, the King of Israel, shall be distinguished not by his loftiness and elegance and majesty, but by his lowliness. That's where so many people missed him. He came under his own, and his own received him not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They didn't recognize him because of his humility, his condescension, his lowliness. But he'll not come riding a chariot. He'll come riding an ass, a donkey. That's not the way kings come. This king did. Because he has to be the lamb and the suffering Savior and substitute. He has to purchase his kingdom before he has that kingdom. And so it says in Zechariah 9, verse 9, and this is what they missed. You see, the whole Old Testament said this, and they missed it. Zechariah 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king cometh unto me, unto thee." Your king's coming. Your king's coming unto thee. He's just and God and a Savior. He has salvation, but he's lowly, and he'll come to thee riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Read Matthew 21 and tell me how the Lord rode that day into Jerusalem before his crucifixion. He told the disciples to go to this certain place, and they would find tied to a tree a donkey. And they got it and brought it to him, and they put one of them put his clothes over the donkey and set Christ on that donkey. And he, the majestic King of Kings, Lord of Lords, rode into his city on a donkey, lowly and despised. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Christ. Listen, Isaiah, in the sixth place, Isaiah declared that the Christ would be lowly and humble and would suffer and die at the hands of wicked men. Isaiah wrote about the Messiah. Who hath believed our report? Isaiah 53. To whom is the arm of the Lord, the might of the Lord, the power of the Lord revealed? Behold, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form, no comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Lowly, riding on a donkey. His followers, fishermen. Nobodies. Everybody that was anybody turned thumbs down on this Jesus of Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? We know him. He's a carpenter. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. By his stripes we're healed. Oh, that's right. All the way through the Old Testament, it told how he would be hated and despised and finally crucified. Psalm 22 tells you all about it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 1. They pierced my hands and my feet. They cast lots for my garment. They plucked out my beard. They said he trusted God. Let's see if God will have him. If you read Psalm 22, this is a messianic psalm about the Christ. And all these words were fulfilled on Calvary. And then in the seventh place, listen to this. The Messiah, the scriptures teach that the Messiah will die and be raised from the grave. Jesus Christ not only died an ignominious, hateful death on a cruel cross, but they laid him in a tomb, a borrowed tomb, and put a stone in front of it and put the seal of the government upon it and put soldiers out there to keep his disciples from, they said, stealing his body. But you know what David wrote about the Messiah many years before that in Psalm 16? He said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul, thou wilt not leave my body in the grave, nor suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." And Peter, talking about that scripture at Pentecost, he said, David's not talking about himself. "Thou wilt not leave my body in the grave, or suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." David's not talking about himself, Peter said, because David's sepulchre is with us to this day. You can visit his tomb. That's where his bones are. This is the Messiah. He'll die on a cross and be buried, but he won't stay in the grave. On the third day, he rose again. And my friends, you can visit the grave of every so-called Messiah and every so-called reformer and every so-called religious leader. They all have their tombs. But you go to the tomb where Jesus Christ once laid, if you could find it. Probably can't find it. But I'll tell you what God will say to you as you walk up to it. He says, "Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Why do you think God is worshipped with buildings and graves and tombs and crucifixes and statues and all this foolishness? He lives. He lives. The Messiah lives. He was raised from the tomb, raised from the grave. He lives evermore. He was and he is and he ever will be. Christ arose. He's the Messiah. He's the only one who ever arose from the grave. He's the only one who chose his own mother, the time he'd be born, the nation to which he'd be born. Chose how he would die, when he would die, where he would die, for whom he'd die, and by his own spirit raised himself from the grave. He said, "No man takes my life from me, I lay it down." And he arose. He's the Messiah. And then last of all, the Messiah will come to Israel That's right. He'll fulfill every prophecy and pattern and picture and type given to Israel in the Old Testament, but he'll have a people out of every nation. You read that in the book of Isaiah. The Lord God promised his Messiah a people from every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. That's right. And he has all of those. So when our Lord spoke to the people in John 6, he talked about, I'm the bread of life. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood will never die. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ. I'm the one sent. Hear me. Hear me and live. Refuse to hear me and perish. And that's when they started leaving. He said, does this offend you? Well, you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. And then all of them left. And he turned to the 12 and said, are you going away? Will you go away? And Peter spoke for me and for you and for all of us. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. We believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.